Last week, we began a new sermon series for Lent called 24 Hours That Changed the World. The last 24 hours of Jesus starts on Thursday that we call Maundy Thursday. It was the night that he would be betrayed. And it follows the 24 hours leading up to the crucifixion. Last week, we looked at the Last Supper that he shared with his disciples. And while it started out like every Passover feast, it turned very different. And now it was going to be more than just a little different. So today we pick up the story as they ended the Last Supper and head to the garden. We'll go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. It says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, this was not just any hymn. This hymn is still sung following the Seder dinner and is based on Psalm 18. Now, last week we talked about how Jesus was approaching the fourth cup of the Passover and he made this weird turn. And he said, took the bread and he said, this is my body broken. And he took the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. And the disciples went, okay, so how do we end this? Oh yeah, it's over. Let's sing a hymn and head out. It was a great feast, Jesus. Thank you. And I think this kind of shows that the disciples said, okay, Jesus made a little twist here, but we're going to keep going. And they don't get it. They really don't get it. And Jesus was trying to tell them what was going to happen, and they just didn't get it. And as we continue in Mark 14, 27, as they're going out to the garden, Jesus says, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And Peter declared, hey, even if everybody falls away, I will not. And truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. Have you ever felt on fire for the Lord? Like maybe you had a truly spiritual experience at a retreat and you came out ready to share the good news with the world. Or maybe something convicted you during a church service or a revival and you were recommitted, I'm going to turn it all around and I'm going to start living right. Or maybe you had hit rock bottom and the Lord bailed you out. And in your prayer, you promised God, I promise, if you help me out of this one, I'm going to church every day and I'm going to do it right. And I'm going to tell everybody about how good you are. And I'm going to be really devoted and I mean it and I'm going to do it. And you were really, 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 really meant to do it. Well, that was Peter. He was always the bold one. He was always right there for Jesus. But Jesus knew that all of them, including Peter, were going to abandon him. And we continue with the passage in verse 32. Then they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Do you see the pain and the suffering and the anguish? Mark writes that he was distroubled, that he was distressed and troubled. In Luke's account, he says that being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly and that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And I think this is where the humanity of Jesus really starts to show through. Now, we all think of him as our Savior, as the Son of God. He's part of the great Trinity. He's a being with such great power. He could turn water into wine. He could drive out demons. He could calm a storm. He fed thousands with a few fish and loaves. He made the lame walk and the blind see. He had the power to bring a person back from the dead. We think of him as a rabbi, a teacher, a person of great wisdom, a great storyteller, a great prophet predicting the end times. But we forget that while he was the Son of God filled with power and wisdom, he was also fully human. He was born from flesh and blood. Remember, he was a little baby, wrapped and swaddling clothes. What about that little boy who grew up with his cousins and at times worried his mom and dad? There was a Passover feast many years before, and Jesus was about 12 years old when he disappeared into the crowd. And his parents searched high and low for him, and after a frantic search, they finally found him at the temple engaging the priests. And when his parents saw them, they were astonished. Luke says his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And here we have a young boy who, like normal kids, has a worrisome mother that chastises him for not being where he's supposed to be. I notice that last verse in there, verse 59, says that he grew. Then he got older, he grew in stature, he grew in favor of God and man and words. He grew emotionally, personally, and physically. He was growing up as a boy. He would go through the tough years of adolescence. Just imagine Jesus at 16. All of us have had 16-year-olds. They know it all, don't they? And can you hear Mary or Joseph in an argument with him? "Who are you, Mr. Know-it-all?" And Jesus, with a smug on his face, would say, "Yes, I'm the Son of God." I don't think you could win that one, could you? But the point here is that Jesus was truly human. Jesus had emotions. Jesus had times of joy and times of pain. Jesus had significant love, anger, and disappointments. I mean, just look at some of these verses that tell us about his love. Matthew 9 says, "He saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Matthew 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 15, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way." Matthew 20, again, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, illuminated, or immediately they received their sight and followed him. And not only did Jesus have compassion, Jesus had needs like us. John 4 says that Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down, and it was about noon. You feel that way? Just tired. Matthew 8 says, "Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping." You ever been tired? Do you sleep through anything? Luke 4, it says, "Where 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry." Jesus was hungry. He was tempted. And even Jesus at times wanted to get away from it all. In Matthew 14, it says, "When Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Even Jesus needed to get away. And Jesus even had close friends, and he felt the pain of losing someone special. In John chapter 11, Jesus loses his best friend. And even knowing that he had the power to raise Lazarus, it didn't stop him from feeling the pain we all feel when we lose a loved one. John 11, 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Jesus wept. There ever was a deep emotion. You know, you really hit the hurt with someone when you see the tears and you see them weep. And Jesus had other emotions, including anger and stern rebukings. Mark 3, it says he looked up and around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. In Mark 8, it says, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, said, "Get behind me, Satan." And other passages show us he was indignant. He called people hypocrites. He turned over tables. And there were, of course, times when Jesus is happy, when he is grateful, when he rejoices, and when he praises God. And Luke chapter 10, it says, at the time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." So now we can really see the full humanity of Jesus. Jesus experienced what it meant to be happy, to be sad, to be angry, to be grateful, to be tired, to be worn out. And now in the garden, we see that Jesus is in anguish. He prayed so hard that sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Can you imagine how it would feel to literally have the weight of all human sin on your shoulders? Some of you may have been responsible for life or death decisions in your life. It's not an easy situation, and maybe you've had a loved one that was on life support, and you've had to make that decision to remove it. It's not easy. I know for me, when I was deployed with the Army, for the first time in 12 years of my service, I had to face the reality that as a squad leader, now the lives of 10 people would be directly affected by any decision that I made. Their lives were literally in my hands. And as I gazed at the families when we were leaving, not only did my decision affect 10 soldiers, I saw their moms, their dads, their husbands, their wives, and the most difficult part, seeing them hug their children as we were leaving. And all of these people could be affected if one of my soldiers came back disabled or never came back at all. That was a lot of pressure for 10 people, wasn't it? Now imagine Jesus. Not just his life on the line, not just the life of his disciples, but the sin and the lives of the whole world are on Jesus. And as the Son of God, he knew what was going to happen. He knew what the results were going to be. But yet, since he was fully human, the power of his emotions drove him to utter despair in the moment. Have you been there? We're told as Christians God's got it right. But we still have moments of despair, moments of hardship. Moments when everything seems like it's going wrong and you don't know what to do or where to turn, or you know what you're facing and you don't want to have to face it. But Jesus, knowing what he was facing, knowing he would be abandoned by his disciples, knowing he would suffer one of the cruelest deaths on earth, what does Jesus do? He prays. Earlier that night, he prayed for his disciples. He prayed for all the believers. He praised God. He gave thanks to God. And now he turns again to prayer. And despite any fear he had, despite any temptation to be delivered from this, he prays to God and prays what? Verse 35, going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but you will. But what you will. The next time you have fear, the next time you feel betrayed, the next time the Lord is leading you to a place that is scary and uncomfortable, I want you to remember this moment from his last 24 hours that Jesus was human too. And Jesus turned to God and he cried out, Father. He said, Father. It wasn't great God in the long distant far away heaven that I can't see. He said, Father. That word Abba is like daddy.
Not just father,
right? But daddy. I can tell you as a dad, it's one of the most precious words in the year. Daddy, daddy, right? You want to hear that word. Jesus knew everything is possible with God. Right? We could make a million posters of all the best Christian inspirationals, right? With God, all things are possible. We could line this whole place with those. We know them. But when you're in it, when you're hurting, those verses are just verses, aren't they? But Jesus knew that whatever happened, he needed to trust God. He said, I'd like for you to take it from me. This is pretty overwhelming. But he said, not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. And we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to say that? Each and every day, are we willing to say that? Not my will, but yours. We say it every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Thy will be done. Jesus went all in for God. He went to the cross. He fully surrendered all for you and for me. As we go through the rest of our Lent series, I want us to continue to remember these 24 hours. Understand that everything that Jesus did in obedience, that he was both fully human and fully God. Some incredible mystery that is hard to understand. But he gave himself out of grace and mercy and love so that each of us may one day reach that eternal glory. He gave up of himself, surrendered to the pain and the anguish, to take on the cross, to take on death, so that we can live. And we need to think about how Jesus lived. We need to think how he praised God, how he prayed to God, and all that he did. Before he took the cup, he gave thanks to God. Before he performed his miracles, he gave thanks and prayed to God. Before he went to death, before he faced the hardest things, he prayed to God. We need to consider our surrender. Are we willing to utter those words, yet not what I will, but what you will? See, to be a true disciple, Jesus said we must take up our cross and follow him. We must surrender our will to God's will. And no matter how difficult things are, we need to surrender to God's will. And ask yourself, who owns your life? Who controls what you do? Do you end your nights or start your mornings saying, God, lead me according to your will today? Because I don't know where my phone is, but most days I'm going according to Google's will. And Google's will is controlled by Carla, who puts everything in the calendar. And I know where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do and where the boys are supposed to be. And thank God she does it, or we'd be really lost. But we get caught up in our will and our way and what we're doing every day. Instead of saying, God, when my son's at practice, how can I lead others towards Jesus Christ? God, when I go to work today, how can I lead other people to Jesus Christ? When I go visit somebody at the hospital, how can I lead that person to Jesus Christ, or the nurse to Jesus Christ? How can I lead the cashier at the grocery store? How can I engage people in a way that shows your love, that shows what you've did for me, that shows that I am a servant of you? True salvation requires surrender and sacrifice. And as the events of the arrest and the cross were about to unfold, in a dark, distressing moment, Jesus stopped, Jesus prayed, and Jesus said, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus said, I'm all in. Whatever you will me to be, I am your all in all. Are you willing to be that for Jesus? Are you willing to be that for your God? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, these last 24 hours may give us a different perspective on who your Son Jesus Christ was. And we saw how he was tempted. We saw how he felt hunger, how he felt tiredness. But we see how he felt love, how he felt our anguish and our pain and our emotions. And no matter how overwhelming the moment seemed, no matter how bad he wished it was not upon him, he set for us the example to say, God, whatever is your will, that is my mission. For Jesus, his mission was his life and his sacrifice on the cross. Lord, as we go through this Lenten series, let us see what is our stumbling blocks. Let us remove the things that keep us from you. Lord, lead us and guide us in all that we do so that we may truly be all in for you. This we ask and pray through the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we get ready to leave here today, what would you be willing to give up for me? If I was in real trouble, some of you might take out your wallet and give me some money. One or two of you might even be willing to sell a car or do something drastic. But how many would you give up a loved one for me? Think about the person you love the most. Maybe a spouse, a child, a parent. Would you sacrifice them for me? I love all y'all, but most days I wouldn't give up one of my sons. I wouldn't give up their lives for somebody else. But God sent his Son. He gave up a part of himself to take on the pain and the anguish of our sin so that we can be redeemed and restored to a right relationship with God. And folks, that is the glory of Easter. And we have a God that no matter how dark, no how awful or how horrible things are, then when we get on our knees and we cry out to him, he truly is Abba, Father,
Daddy, hear me. And I promise you that if you pray within His will, He will reveal it to you. He will give you strength, courage, tools, and everything you need to take on that moment, no matter how hard it is. He is a great and loving God. And that is the story of Easter. That is the story we are preparing to celebrate. So as we continue through these 24 hours, let us remember what Jesus did, how He took on our burdens, how He felt our pain. And because of His sacrifice, we can be redeemed children of God. Leave here in the full confidence of knowing how much you are loved by your God and how much He desires to wrap you up as His child and call you His own. Leave here now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.